Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. Glad you could join us once again this week as we continue with our new venture of IPTV. And I encourage you to let everyone that you know about the fact that we are now netcasting across the internet. And this netcast is available throughout the world. Anywhere that people can receive the internet, we can get to with this netcast. That's one of the miracles of the new technology that is available to us today. And I'm really excited about it, both from a spiritual point of view in terms of teaching the gospel to the world, literally, but also from a technical point of view. We've been doing a lot of study over the last few years to get ready for this launch that started a few weeks ago with our 100th podcast, which became our first netcast. And now here we are at netcast number 103. We're going to stick with that numbering system. And we are really excited about the direction that God has given us to reach the world with the gospel through this medium of internet TV or IPTV. Now, you've heard me use that term, IPTV, and you may have wondered about it. IP stands for Internet Protocol. The Internet Protocol, which is TCP/IP, is the protocol that transmits all the information across the World Wide Web. And so the term IPTV has come to mean any kind of TV or video production, such as this netcast, that is sent over the internet through the TCP/IP protocol. So we're constantly tweaking and adjusting and adding to the website and to this technology, and I trust you will find it of benefit. Now, we're starting a new study this week, and I want to get right into that because it's going to open up some things. I believe there are many of you that will have heard a lot of this teaching before. There's some of you that have never heard it before. But in any case, it's going to be a blessing to you because it's the Word of God. So open your Bibles, if you have them with you. If you don't, go get them. To Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to start there. Before we do, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to reach the world with the gospel through this new medium of IPTV. And I just am really excited, and I know this is a direction that you have prompted us to go in. And so I know it will be successful because you are behind it. You have anointed it. And so, Father God, I am excited about this. And now, as we get into the message today, I believe your Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, will just take over and minister the Word of God in a powerful and effective way, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Very familiar scripture, I'm sure, to all of you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, we know God is the creator. We know that it was in the beginning that he did that. No great revelation there, but let's keep going. And the earth was without form and void. The word void here means vacant or ruined. It was empty. It was ruined. There was nothing but chaos. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, now there's where I want us to center up on. God used his words to use his faith to create the heavens and the earth. God uses faith. God is a God of faith, and he uses his faith in a very unique and very specific way, and he does it by saying, by using his words. God said out of his mouth, "Let there be light." Now let's take that apart in the Hebrew here. The word "let there be," or the phrase, maybe I should say, "let there be," is the Hebrew word hoyal. It is a primitive root word. That is, it is a basic word in the Hebrew language. It means to exist or to become, to come to pass, it is always emphatic. Now think about that. This word, come into existence or come to be, is an emphatic word. God's not fooling around here. He's not saying, whenever you want to, No. He's saying, let there be. It is immediate. And then he says what? Let there be light. What is the word light here? The word light is or. It's kind of the word we get orb from, or, the words that are derived that we get other words for light, orb of light, that kind of thing. But at any rate, it means illumination or luminary in every sense. So, the best way probably to say this is, it is light in every sense of the term of the word light. Now, that may seem a little blind to you, but let's pull back and put this together and see if it makes a little bit more sense. God said, let there be light, every form of illumination that exists, every form of light that exists. Now, we think of light as a light that we see. If I look up into the light here in this room, I see a bright light. But that light is just one part of the spectrum of light. We know that there are spectrums of light that include infrared light, which is a heat. And then there's visible light. And then if you keep going, there's ultraviolet light. And if you keep going up through the spectrum of light, you'll find that there's the radiations, gamma radiation, all kinds of forms of this spectrum that we define as the light spectrum. Generally, scientifically, this is called the electromagnetic wave spectrum. Now, if we take that spectrum, and I'm headed somewhere here, hang with me. If we take that spectrum and go down the spectrum through visible light to infrared to heat, all the way down, and we go back up the spectrum from infrared to visible light to ultraviolet and so forth into radiation, all of these forms of the electromagnetic waveform spectrum are part of this spectrum of light. And you say, Dr. Bill, what does that have to do with anything? Well, hang in there. When God said, let there be light, he was saying, in effect, let there come into existence immediately the entire electromagnetic waveform spectrum. Now, what scientists have found in studying this spectrum is that everything that exists is part of this spectrum. In other words, think of it this way. The vibrations or the frequencies of this entire spectrum have to do with everything that is matter. Einstein's theory, do you remember that? Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Even that, well, I started to say basic fundamental. It was a pretty amazing thing when he came up with it. But at the same time, it defined a basic part of energy and its relation to mass, of energy and mass and its relation to light. So the entire electromagnetic waveform spectrum defines everything that is physical. So the best way, the reason I say all this, to come back to where we need to be, is that the best way to define reality or existence or that which is natural is to define it as the entirety, the complete electromagnetic waveform spectrum, which is what God said he wanted to come into existence immediately. Emphatically, he said, let there be light, and it was basically in the present tense. And what happened? Now, light came into existence. When he said, let there be light, there was no light. After he said it, because he knows perfectly how to use faith, and because he's God, and because of the power behind his words, the entire electromagnetic waveform spectrum came into existence. It's pretty amazing. But let's keep reading here. He said, let there be light, and there was light. It came to pass. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then he goes on to create the rest of the world and everything therein. So, what do we have here? We see God using his words to create everything that exists. Now, the thing about God is, he knows how to perfectly choose his words. Can you imagine if we were given the assignment, let's just say God had subcontracted to us the creation of the universe? Oh my goodness, we would have been writing down everything and coming up with plans and contingency plans and what are we going to do and how are we going to do it and on and on. God, because of his wisdom, because of his knowledge, because he understands everything, he was able to, in a one-word phrase, because really in the Hebrew, this is just a phrase, that he said, let there be light. That's our English translation of it. But in that one little phrase, he created everything. It just slung it off into existence. What's great to me about that is, from the moment he said out of his mouth, let there be light, the universe sprang into existence, and it's still going at the speed of light in every direction. From the single point of his mouth when he said, let there be light. Whew, think about that. The entire universe still expanding at the speed of light in every direction. And science has confirmed that this is true. Scientists have found that the universe is expanding in every direction from a single point at the speed of light. Is it no wonder, since God said, light be, and light was, and it's still obeying his word. He has never taken that word back. He's never said, okay, stop, that's enough. It's still expanding at the speed of light in every direction. Whew. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, I'm going to shock you here, because what I'm going to tell you is, some of you know where I'm headed. What I'm going to tell you is, God expects us to use his words the same way he did. Now you say, Dr. Bill, do you mean God wants us to create universes? No, no, no. It's not what I'm saying. This is an example of how he used it. But Jesus said in the book of Mark in chapter 11 to use the faith of God the same way he did. In other words, in the same manner, in the same way. See, the essence of faith has not changed. The way faith works hasn't changed. The only thing that is different is that it's us using God's faith, and it's us using God's faith at his instruction. Now, I'm going to go over to the book of Mark. I'm going to have to look it up here in my electronic Bible, my notebook, running eSword. But let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 1, and let's begin there. When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, go your way into the village, over against you, and as soon as you enter into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereupon never a man hath set, loose him and bring him. And he gave them instructions, and they proceeded to bring this colt to him. Now let's jump down to verse, Mark chapter 11, and verse, let's start with verse 11. That's a good place. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And he looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem. He was staying in Bethany. That's where he was abiding during this time. He was traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem. He was making that trip. So in the morning, he makes this trip from Bethany into Jerusalem. He gets to Jerusalem, and then he goes to the temple, And he begins to preach, he begins to minister, he begins to do several things there, including this particular day, he casts the money changers out of the temple. That was one of the things he did. But what I want you to see is the time frame here. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, when he looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, so he spent the day there, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Okay? Get that picture, get that idea, because that's important to what we're going to be seeing here. Verse 12, on the morrow, so now it's the next morning, they're going to make this trip from Bethany into Jerusalem again. And look what he does. When they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Hadn't had breakfast yet. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. Now, basically what that meant was, is this fig tree had leaves on it, and Jesus knew that when a fig tree has leaves, it's supposed to have fruit. So he said, okay, I'll go get me a fig. He walked over to the tree. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, now think about this, Jesus, the Son of God, with the disciples there with him, traveling from Bethany into Jerusalem, detours off the road, goes over to the side where he sees this fig tree. He looks at the fig tree, and then he starts talking to it. Now, don't you know the disciples were going, what's he doing? What's going on? Jesus is talking to a tree. Okay. Why is the master talking to a tree? You know they were curious about this. But none of them said anything except Peter, because he's the loudmouth of the bunch, and he had to ask. So, we'll find out how that went here in a minute, but let's keep reading. Jesus answered, said unto the tree, no man eat fruit of the tree hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So he didn't mumble this. He didn't have a silent prayer. He said out loud to the tree, and the disciples heard it. And you know they're scratching their heads. You know, strange are the ways of Jesus. Well, verse 15. When they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, so he began to teach there at the temple, about what he had done, saying, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the priests heard it and sought how they might to destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching. So Jesus was teaching in the temple all day long. Now in the morning he's coming from Bethany into Jerusalem. As he comes from Bethany in Jerusalem, he goes over and talks to a fig tree. He goes into Jerusalem, he preaches all day. He leaves Jerusalem, goes back to Bethany, and let's see what happens. And when even was come, remember last time when even was come, he left Jerusalem, went back to Bethany? Well, he does the same thing again. When even was come, he went out of the city, talking about Jerusalem, and he obviously went to Bethany and spent the night and everything just like he did the night before. But in the morning, he's going from Bethany back to Jerusalem again. And what does it say? As they passed by, they saw the fig tree, the one he talked to, dried up from the roots. And Peter, good old Peter, you can always count on him to say something. Peter says, calling to remembrance, he says, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now you know, just like the rest of the disciples, he's going, okay, Jesus said something to this fig tree, and he said, no man eat fruit of you after forever. And then the next day, 24 hours later, because remember it was in the morning when he came by that he spoke to it. Now it's 24 hours later, another morning, he spoke, and when he before, you know, since he spoke to it, that now they see that it's dried up. So Peter says, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, in verse 22, says unto them, have faith in God. And if you look this up in a lot of different translations, it says have the faith of God or have God's kind of faith. So what we're seeing here is Jesus is about to tell us how to use God's faith ourselves on purpose, just like God did. You remember God said, let there be, and there was? Here Jesus spoke to a fig tree, and after a 24-hour period, it had dried up from the roots. Now, let me make this clear. It began drying up from the roots from the very moment he said something to it. But it took 24 hours for the thing to dry up to where it was manifestly, demonstrably dried up from the roots so that the disciples saw it and wondered at it. So, Jesus' words went to work immediately. But in the natural realm, if you will, there wasn't any obvious sign that his words had gone to work immediately yet for a period of time. If you get that, you'll get some things about faith. There's a lot of people that use their words, that speak the words of faith, and then they look around themselves and nothing has changed apparently immediately. And so they think, well, this faith stuff doesn't work. If Jesus, now of course Jesus wouldn't have because he knew what was going on. He understood the process. But if Jesus had been that way, if he'd have seen that that fig tree didn't immediately dry up, you know, can you imagine him saying, well, this faith stuff doesn't work? Well, no, of course not. You say, well, Jesus wouldn't do that. Well, then neither should you. Because Jesus said to use God's kind of faith. And how do you use God's kind of faith? Same way Jesus did. Same way God did. With the same process. This process of operating by faith does not change. Did you know the rules of gravity don't change? If you throw a ball in the air, does it just go floating off into the sky occasionally? And then occasionally it may fall back down. No, every time you throw that ball up into the air, it's going to come back down. That's just a rule. Now, we simplify it and say what goes up must come down. But there's rules involving the force of gravity that cause that to happen. And we trust it. We know it so well that we count on gravity working. There's never a point that we sit there and scratch our head and say, I wonder if today gravity's going to work. No, we count on that. Well, it's the same way with faith. Faith always works the same way every time. You're not going to use faith one day with your words and then another day not use your words and have faith work. The laws of faith are higher laws than the natural laws of gravity and other things that we can name in the natural realm. They're higher laws. They're a spiritual law as opposed to natural law. And as we know, the natural world was brought into a manifestation by spiritual law. You know, what existed first, God or the universe? God. How did the universe come into existence? God said, let there be, and there was. So, the spiritual world created the physical world, not the other way around. So, we should look at spiritual law as a higher law, as a more important law, and as, get this, a more dependable law. You can always count on the Word of God and the faith of God and the spiritual laws of God working every single time. You may say, well, Dr. Bill, of course it's going to work every single time for God. It's going to work every single time for Jesus. Well, if laws didn't always work, no matter who put them to work, they wouldn't be laws, would they? Can you imagine throwing the ball up in the air and say, well, you know, it'll work for me, but it won't work for my neighbor because he throws a ball up and it's just going to float off. No, no, no. Laws work the same no matter who applies them. I mean, you can be, pardon the expression, a complete idiot and apply the law of gravity. You don't have to be a scientist and understand how the law of gravity works to work it. When you walk into a room and flip a light switch and the light comes on, you don't have to be an electrician and know how all that electricity works and how light works and all of those things, you know, and amperage and impedance and all the various things that go into electrical theory. You don't have to know all that. You just know you flip the light switch on and it works. Laws work. When we speak the Word of God, it works. every single time. So what you need to get a hold of is these words of faith that God is having you speak from the Word of God. They're always going to work the same way every single time that you put them to work. Now, what you need to know is what's involved in working the Word, what's involved in doing the Word, how do I apply the Word, how does this law work, this law of faith, and that's what we're going to be getting into. So I'd encourage you to stay with us, and we'll get more into this next week. Until then, I want you to write me at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. Write me. Let me know how these netcasts are ministering to you. And as I say, let your friends know. Let your church buddies know, you know, whoever. Send them emails and say, tune in to WOFM.org. You know, think of it as like a TV station's, you know, letters, WOFM. Tune in to WOFM. And watch our netcast and let it minister to you. And I just believe it will be a blessing to you. So until then, remember to fulfill the Word of God.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.